We're on. We are continuing in Sha'ara Achzariyut, where somebody suggested last week that we translate it as callousness, which is nicer than cruelty. Literally, it's usually translated as cruelty, but that definitely has sounds too negative.
Merciless.
Maybe. Okay. Gam hu lo yitzta'er al tzarot chavirav. Somebody who is callous, he doesn't feel sorry for his friends. Kasher tire b'David ha-melech she'amar, as it says, David writes it in Tehillim Lamed Hei, v'ani b'chalotam levushi sak, ineti b'tzum nafshi u'tfilati al chiki tashuv. When I was a kid, I never understood why people are amazed with David ha-melech and Tehillim. This is one of those psukim that it's hard to believe. David HaMelech, if you look in the context, is talking about his enemies. Remember, David had a lot of enemies, right? He had Shalom rebelled against him, and Amnon, and he has problems with Shaul, and his. Anyway, he has a lot of problems. And he writes, V'ani b'chalotam, when my enemies get sick, livushi sak, I wear sackcloth. In other words, that's a pretty high level of morality that I would never think of it. You know, when your enemies get sick, your first reaction is to be happy. And David HaMelech, not only is he not happy, he wears sackcloth. Ineti betzom nafshi. And I fast for their refuah shlema. Oh, so we're not talking about non-Jews. We're talking about Jews, and we'll see that later on. We're talking about, you know, sometimes people, obviously not in a Yishuv Torani like Kol Chava Shachar, but, you know, people have fights and have feuds, and, you know, and I just heard recently of somebody who's sort of a competition in a certain field, and I just heard that he is very sick. And again, your first reaction is, okay, maybe this is the time to make shalom, maybe this is the time to make peace. But rather than using it to your advantage, first, feel sorry for him. You know, daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even fast, utfilati el cheki tashuv, and I daven from my kishkes, even for these people who are not my friends. Okay, so this is, again, by the way, when, for now on, when you look at Tehillim, read it with the eyes of seeing the midot of David HaMelech. I wrote an article together with my brother Ezra about how the Midrash finds tens of places that David HaMelech comes out against Lashon Hara. It's like Chavetz Chaim. He's always talking about Lashon Hara. Until you see the Midrash pointed out, you don't realize it. David HaMelech really was something unbelievable. And especially when you remember he's king. And kings in those days were, you know, they were monarchs. And they, and he, you know, obviously, like all kings, David HaMelech he also has his shortcomings. But when you think of a king who's worried about Lashon Hara, and a king who davens and fasts for his enemies, again, his Jewish enemies, but...
like his Jewish enemies. So
yeah.
Who are his Jewish enemies?
Mm-hmm. First of all, his children. And also Shaul. Yeah, yeah. And that's also when you think about David HaMelech. Shaul wants to kill him. David has an opportunity to kill him. And not only does he not kill him, he lets him go. And again, we're not just talking about competitors. We're talking about, hey, Shaul is after me to kill me. Bekitzur, the more you learn about David HaMelech, the more you realize he was an unbelievable tzaddik. And you see this also in Tehillim. And another example, Ubi Yov, in the book of Job, K'tiv, Im lo bachiti likshe yom, agman nafshi le'evyon. If I don't cry for those who are down and out, for the nebuchs, for those who are suffering, agma nafshi le'evyon, and I suffer, in other words, he's saying, if I don't suffer for the poor person, then I'm not proper. So part of the midah of that we're talking about callousness is to worry about the other person. These actions of Eov and of David are the exact opposite of a callous person. Ve'ena midah hazot nimtzeit ela banashim asher tivam keteva rayot. The callousness or cruelty is found among people who act like they have natures of lions, shetorfim vechomsim, that they devour. And this is something people are not meant to devour. By the way, it's interesting, I just heard on Yom Shishi, on Rav Shmuel Eliyahu, I was going to get the Doar, and so I was listening to, they have on question and answers with the Rav of Tzfat, Rav Shmuel Eliyahu, the son of Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, and somebody asked him, why do we look at our fingernails and Havdalah, the Bracha Borim Orei Aish? So the simple answer is, right, to get some kind of Hana'ah. But why Davka the fingernails? So there are those that say that the fingernails continue growing even after a person dies. But he gave a Kabbalistic answer that I'd never heard before. He said that the fingernails differentiate between man and animal, whereas the fingernails in animals are meant to litrof, how do you say?
To attack.
Right? To tear apart, to pray. And by animals, we don't pray. Well, we pray with an A, but not with an E. And that is a significant difference between us and them. So again, this is the midah of don't be cruel. Ube'et asher titchazek ha-nefesh ha-ka'asanit al ha-adam az boreach midat ha-rachmanut. And when we lose our temper, when people get angry, they lose the good midot of mercy. V'achzariyut mitgaberet la-ros v'lintots. And the yetzer, to be cruel, can overcome them, to destroy. Kidichtiv achzariyut chema v'shetef af. Right? When a person has that midah of cruelty, he just loses control. If you remember when we learned in Mesilat Yesharim, he talks about those who lose control when they get angry. And he says one of the best ways not to get angry is to look at other people when they get angry and realize that's how you look when you get angry. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, some people, their blood pressure rises and they turn red in the face and... In chema kechema shel achzariyut, and there is no temper, there is no anger like a person who has this midah of callousness, of cruelty. Avol b'midat ha-borei yitbarach timatze, what do we find by God? The exact opposite. Birogez rachim tizkor. It's a pasuk that we know from Slichot. If you think about it, what does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, even when he has all of the reasons to be angry, we ask, remember your mercy. And Hashem is perfect, he can do it all. But what the point here is that it's most difficult to control your midot when you're angry. So as we learned in Mesilat Yesharim, what you got to do is learn how not to be angry. If you remember, we gave a couple of concrete examples. For example, to count to 10, right? That's a famous one. Or not to react right away. Right? And today it's very good with, sometimes I find myself, when somebody asks like a really me'atzben, how do you say me'atzben?
Annoying
question. Or well, it's not they're just like playing the devil's advocate, as if, you know, as if I'm getting paid for this. You know, people don't realize, you know, when they ask questions that it's really can be annoying, especially if it takes time. And but what's good about replying on WhatsApp is you don't reply right away. First, you write it, then you think about it, you go over it again a couple minutes later, and only then you send it. And I found this very, very helpful. Human beings have difficulty having mercy when we are angry. So again, what is the trick?
There's a lot of shittot that say when you're angry, you're very angry at somebody. Write them a letter, and then go tear it up, or burn it, or something, and not give it to them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. Did you hear that one, the folks at home? The idea of writing a letter when you're angry at somebody, write a letter and then tear it up, right? And don't give it to them. Or maybe reword it. Ve'od amida hazot, you see we're starting a new paragraph. You all have it as a new paragraph?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ve'od amida hazot, here we go. This midah of callousness, b'nafsho shel adam lasig nekama bo'oivav, it gets us to revenge. Kirichti ve'lo yachmol b'yom nakam. Shlomo HaMelech says in Proverbs, we don't feel sorry at the moment of revenge. When you want to take revenge, we have an opportunity to take revenge, your mercy is not working. Perush kishiyesh nekama in chemla. Right? These are, as we've seen many times, you have to identify the midot. What is the opposite of this midah, so that if you're feeling one character trait, make sure that you have to go out of your way to overcome it to implement another character trait. So it's saying again, mercy and revenge. Ela achzariut v'akatuf omer lo tikom v'lo titor. It's actually two mitzvot de'oraita that you're not allowed to take revenge. Now, what is the difference between don't take revenge, and then it's translated lo titor as don't bear a grudge? You better remember Rashi brings the Gemara.
I think lo titor is oh, you didn't lend me your thing, so I'm not going to lend you mine.
That's lo tikom.
Oh, okay.
Lo titor is...
I'll lend you, but don't forget.
Right. I'm not like you. I'll lend it to you.
Even though you didn't lend it to me.
Right. And so that's why it's called don't even bear a grudge. In other words, even if I'm lending,
do it wholeheartedly.
And if you don't want to lend, it's just you don't want to lend. It's not because.
It's something which is adin, something which is very breakable, you have all the reason in the world why not to lend it. Especially somebody who you know isn't careful, you know, say like a teenager or something like that, or you know, somebody who doesn't have the money to pay you back if they ruin your electric drill. That's by the way, one of the greatest gemachim is electric. Ariel, what's his name?
Oettinger
has electric drills, and those things break. You have to be very careful not to break it, and obviously if you break it, you have to pay.
Break. The drill itself doesn't break.
The bit. Sometimes the drills itself, I've also had a drill go. Yeah, sometimes you can fix that too. But anyway, afilu litor belev hizharnu. Who's harnu? The Torah says, don't even hold a grudge inside your heart. Kol shekein, shelo la'asot ma'aseh bi'adayim la'kot chavero. How much more so? Don't hit somebody back. Don't beat him up. Halo afim nafal belo pshiato lo yismach. Sometimes we have a tendency when somebody who you don't get along with falls, and your first reaction is to smile or to smirk. Right. Right, or, you know, magialo, right, or something like that. And you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to, even if something, I don't know. For example, what was down...
That's the level of lotitor, that's...
That I would not consider lotitor, but he mentions it afterwards. Afterwards. In other words, it's like a continuation. You know, there were some people after the... after what happened on Simchat Torah... Where we know that the people who were living on the kibbutzim there, many of them were very extreme leftists and Arab lovers and those who were... And here come those who they wanted to make peace with and they spit in their face and kill them. And so you could understand somebody who was saying, oh, now they understand. But that is not proper. In other words, if a Jew is suffering, like David HaMelech says, suffer with him. Right? You shouldn't gloat if even, okay, so somebody, it's his fault for going to into Arab villages and for trying to, you know, naively make peace with the Arabs or something like that. But nevertheless, just like you don't like when the leftists say, oh, those rightists, you know, are those religious, or so too, we're, you have to remember, they're Jews, we're Jews, we're always on the same side.
You know, they were killed and the people on the roads and people. Why are you living there?
Yeah. But most of those people aren't listening to Orphan Study Day. So we have the opposite problem. So let's... Okay. Kirichtiv, but it's definitely true. Kirichtiv, binful oivecha al tismach, uvi kashlo al yagel libecha. When your enemies fall, you should not be happy. And here, it's very important to remember the there's a Gemara in Masechet Megillah, Tavka connected to Purim, Daf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph, which talks about how when Haman, you remember Haman tells the king to how to honor a person who looks out for him, and he thinks he's talking about himself. And Achashverosh says, okay, so go and dress Mordechai with the clothes of the king and ride on the horse of the king. And on his way up to the horse, the Gemara says that Mordechai stepped on Haman. And Haman apparently was as learned, according to the Midrash. And he says to Mordechai, hey, doesn't it say in your Torah, bin pol oivecha al tismach, you're not supposed to be happy when your enemy falls. And Mordechai answers him explicitly, Habi Yisrael, that is talking about when a Jew falls. When a Jew falls, even if he's your enemy, like we said a minute ago, he's still a Jew, he's still your brother, overcome your hard feelings to him. But when a Goy does something about him, it says, Va'ata abamotemo tidroch, you should trod upon them, because that is a national issue. And by the way, this pasuk is very often misquoted. You know, when people feel sorry for the terrorists or things like that, they sometimes quote this pasuk. And it's important to note that Judaism says that this is only for Jewish people. On the other hand, regarding goyim, you should trod upon your
goyim
enemies.
Goyim that want to kill us, not the...
Right, goyim that want to kill us, obviously.
Guy from Finland.
Isn't there a midrash or something that Kriyat Yam Suf, when when all of the Mitzrim were drowning in there, and the Malachim said, "What the, my creation," or Hashem said, "My creations are drowning, and you're a Kamum Shira," or something like that.
So that's saying to the angels, and not to the people. As a matter of fact, the people are supposed to sing, "Az Yashir Moshe." That's written in the Torah. And as a matter of fact, Chizkiyahu, who did not sing when Ashur fell, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says he was punished for it. Because it's natural to thank God and sing to God, and that's what Hallel is about. Whenever we say Hallel, we beat somebody. You know, the Greeks wanted to kill us. They wanted to kill us, you know. They say that's Judaism. They wanted to kill us. They tried to kill us.
Now
let's eat, right? Vanokem vahanoter eino ma'avir almidotav. But again, we're talking now about Jewish people, and those who take revenge and don't overcome their midot. This is an interesting term. Overcome their midot takes into account that it's natural to get angry. It's natural to have competition. But you have to overcome your midot. And ve'ino mochel lechaver. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that who is it? One of the Tanaim. He was there was a drought for rain, and he davened, and he wasn't answered. And another one of the Tanaim davened, and he was answered. Hashem brought down rain. So it was Rabbi Akiva. So the first one's wife says to him, what, Rabbi Akiva is greater than you? So he says, well, Rabbi Akiva is over al midotav. He overcomes his midot. You remember, Rabbi Akiva was a Baal Tshuva. Till the age of 40, he was totally not religious. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that he used to hate rabbis, he used to hate Torah scholars, and he overcame his midot. And that's exactly what we're learning here. Don't shoot from the hip, right? Ve'ino mochel lechaveru aposhim alav, ve'ze gorero moshech hamachloket ve'asina. Right? If you don't forgive your friends, this is what causes fights. This is what causes hate in Am Yisrael. And as our mother used to tell us, it takes two to tangle. And even if he wants to fight with you and he hurts you, if you want there to be shalom in Am Yisrael, And we ask Hashem that there should be Shalom in Am Yisrael. The way to do it is to rise over our midot. And especially in Israel, the leftists give us a lot of opportunity. And the newspapers give us a lot of opportunity to say things that get us angry. And the answer is, listen, if you're a member of Knesset and you have to argue, that's something else. But if we have to take these opportunities to overcome our gut reactions, especially against Jewish people. And that's what we're talking about. Ukvar yadata ma tov uma na'im midat ha-shalom. How great and how pleasant is the midah of shalom. Chazal say on the pasuk, Darachei Darchei Noam v'chol nativotei ha-shalom, the way of the Torah is shalom. And that's why it is the last bracha, the climax of the Shemona Esrei, and it is the big challenge of our generation. Because again, when you have two Jews, you have three opinions, and Jews are very argumentative, and in the Jewish state, everybody thinks that the other's opinion is going to ruin the state, and the other's opinion is pikuach nefesh, and everybody is so opinionated, and again, take it easy. The most important thing is shalom, not to be correct. Again, if you're debating somebody in a newspaper, so, you know, you point out your proofs, the weak points of the other person or the other opinion, but don't get personal. Don't always remember that we're on the same side. And that's something that Rav Drukman, my Rebbe, always used to stress. There's no such thing as us and them regarding the non-religious or the leftists. We're all part of the same people. And I admit it's not easy, and especially when one is living in a religious right-wing issue where everyone has more or less, you know, you can vent off and they vent off and everyone's venting together. And it's a challenge. But the way to peace in Am Yisrael, that we all pray that it should continue, not just in the army, not only on the battlefields, but also afterwards in politics and everywhere, that the shalom should continue. New paragraph. Ubichlal ha'achzariyut ha'gozel chavero me'uma mishelo. To steal is one of... That's really callous. That's really cruel. What is the difference between Geneva and Gezela? Anybody remember?
One is during the day and one at the night.
Right. Geneva is somebody who sneaks and pickpockets. Gezela is in your face. I'm going to mug you and take something. And ubeze mitza'er oto. You are really hurting that person. And people work hard for a living. And then when you take away their money in their face, or you scratch their car, or you hurt their property, right? It definitely hurts a person. Ve'onesh gadol yesh legozel ani, especially if you're taking away from a poor person. He doesn't have that much.
Well, we consider today that people steal from bank accounts and hackers. And is that Geneva?
That's Geneva, because you usually don't know about it. Gezela would be, for example, this happens on one of the streets that that I go very often, that some people are coming from this direction, other people are coming from the other direction, and everyone's waiting for a parking spot, and depending where the car is going to come out, that's the one who gets it. And Bikitsur, you really have to be very, very careful, because in general, it's not a rule, as far as I know, but in general, whoever is there first, he gets the parking spot. And it causes a lot of feuds. Like I said, he's coming from here, and sometimes you don't even see that. I remember one time in Merkaz Ha'ir, I was waiting for a parking spot, and somebody pulled out, and I pulled in. And this woman gets out, she says, "What, just because you're a man and I'm a woman, you took my parking spot?" I said, "No, I didn't see you were a woman. I didn't see that you were there. I didn't see you. You know, I thought I was here first." But, you know, some this could be the type of thing that, or, you know, it's another example of Gezela. When you go to taste olives, just yesterday in Ariel. I went to buy olives. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people taste. Now, if you ask the guy, can I taste it? You know, I want to buy this, I want to buy that. You want to taste the pitzuchim, the nuts, to see if they're fresh. Right? There's nothing as bad as not fresh peanuts, right? It's just not edible, right? So you ask them, can I taste it? But sometimes, I don't know, maybe it's an unwritten rule that it's really accepted. I always ask. But sometimes you go to supermarkets and you see people. I remember one time in the supermarket, it was cherries. Something really expensive. Somebody was sitting there just eating, standing and eating. And, you know, that is definitely gazela. Maybe to taste one to see if it's fresh or something like that, you know, that if it's something that they allow and that's generally allowed, then it's okay. But that's a good example of gezeila, right? To take something bekoch. Onesh ha-gezeila chamur meod, and that's why the punishment, because it hurts a person so much, you're not just taking their money, you're hurting their pride, right? Hey, I worked hard for this. That's why the punishment is so severe. Kirichtiv bedora mabul, as it says regarding, as it says regarding the flood, right? The people of the generation of the flood, they did a lot of bad things. Right? The Gemara mentions a whole list of things that they did. Rashi brings some of them. Ketz kol basar balifanai ki malaretz chamas mipneihem. But what was the straw that broke the camel's back? Chamas. And Amru Rabotenu, and our rabbis explain, what is that, Hamas? And by the way, do you ever notice that the nicknames of our enemies, very often in Hebrew also, is something derogatory, like Hamas. Right? They chose the name, and to it is really cruelty. Or Russia. Russia, you ever notice Russia? They're evil. Nazis, from the word Linots, Nun Aleph Tzadi, is these are bad people. And it's, I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a sense of humor. Like, that's like, ooh, they chose the name. It has nothing to do with us. You know, it's nothing to do with Hebrew. Right? So our Chazal say, Kupa Mleya Avonot, the person can have a whole treasure chest of sins. Ein mekatreg bekulan kmo agezel. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says the one which complains the most on Yom Hadin, on Judgment Day, is gezel. You really got to be very careful. Umisha mitzair yaton ve'almana begezel. And somebody who hurts or takes advantage of a widow or an orphan. O behachlama, o v'chol minei tzar. Once he's on the topic, he says the same thing. When you embarrass a nabach person, somebody who can't stand up for himself, you know, and you mitchayev mita bidei shamayim. Chazal say that somebody who embarrasses a weak person, he is deserving of death in heaven. V'chena dayanim shebiyadam latzilam miyad oshkehem. And similarly, the judges who can save these exploited people from those who are exploiting them, ve'inam danim dim yatom v'almana b'nei mavanem, kirichtiv kol almana v'yatom lo te'anun, uchtiv im ane ta'ane oto, kim tsa'ok yitzak elai, shamoa eshma tzakato. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if these Nebuch people, they say Nebuch. Losers, right? If they call out to God, Hashem says, I will listen to their cries, and you got to be careful. In other words, somebody who has Hashem on his side, you got to be careful. There's an interesting midrash that says that HaKadosh Baruch, there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Elokim mevakesh etanir daf. Hashem looks out for that who is being chased.
The underdog.
The underdog, that's the word, right? And Chazal say, on that pasuk, afilu rasha bidei tzadik. Even if a tzadik is chasing after a rasha, again, we're talking within the Jewish people here, you should not take advantage of the underdog. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks out for the underdog. So, you should be on the side of the underdog. Uchtiv. You know, as a kid, remember there was a cartoon underdog?
Yeah. Yes.
As a kid, I never understood. I didn't know that that was a term. Somebody was the underdog. V'chara apiv haragti etchem b'charev v'ayu neshechem amanot b'neichem yitomim. Right? If you don't take care of the widows and the orphans, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you exploit them, so I will turn your wives into widows and your children into orphans. Right? Again, sometimes the Torah speaks very, very clearly, very strongly. Otherwise, it doesn't catch our attention. Mida keneged mida. And this is, obviously, if you take advantage of a weak person, Kadosh Baruch Hu, why shouldn't he do the same thing to you? Neshechem al banot keneged inui al manot, b'nechem yitomim keneged inui yitomim. Whoever hurts a fellow Jew is transgressing a lotase shenemar velotonu ish et amito. A pasuk in Vayikra 25. By the way, has anybody ever heard of Rabbi Zelig Pliskin?
Sure.
From Esha Torah? He has an unbelievable book in English called The Power of Words. And just like the Chavetz Chaim brought Shmirat HaLashon, Lashon Hara, onto the agenda, I hope it works, if you all heard of him, so I guess it is working, he brought this Isur of Lo Tonu. Now, what's the difference between Lo Tonu and Lashon Hara? They're both talking about Onat Dvarim, things that you say. Lashon Hara is when you talk behind a person's back. And we know that there's a certain Yetzer, he's not going to hear, he's not going to know. Onat Dvarim is when you say it to his face, but sometimes you could say to yourself, hey, that's not Lashon Hara. Right? I'm not embarrassing him, I'm saying it to his face. Well, that is still an Isur De'oraita of Lo Tonu. Even, I would not have thought of this, to say boo to a person to scare them. I know that on Tehillim, well, the boys go ahead, and when the girl comes around the corner, they say boo, and she yells, and right? Rabbi Pliskin gives this example that saying boo to scare somebody is an Isur De'oraita of Lo Tonu. Because you're saying something, even if it's not a word, just boo, right? And, you know, your first reaction is, oh, we're just joking. Well, yeah, in what language?
English. Definitely a word.
Oh, yeah, you can use that in Bondo. Okay. It's a good term. Okay. So it's a word. But somebody could say, well, I'm just playing a joke. You know what? We'll see if people play that joke on you if you really enjoy
it.
Uh-huh. Use Arfin Bungle too. Mm-hmm. Scrabble.
Mm-hmm.
Scrabble.
Scrabble.
Another example. Hey, if you want to we'll say Shabbat, we can have a love of yeah, bring your spouses. So what is another example? Another example is this famous example. But after sometimes you don't think of it, and then after Chazal pointed out, hey, I once did that. You know, if somebody buys a car, they just paid 30,000 shekel for it, and you say, oh, you know, that car, it's not a good car. You know, what's he going to do? You can't get it back. You're just hurting him. Now, if it's something that he can get his money back and you know about cars, you know, so that's something else. You're helping him out. But,
what about when a teenager says to the next teenager, oh, you don't need to study for your book world, it's okay, because you can also take them next year or the year after.
That's teenagers, by the way. As I remember as kids, we used to, there's one guy in our high school, his thing was he could cut down anybody. He had like a book of cut downs, and he memorized it, and he was pretty good at it, but, you know, looking back at it, you know.
Where is he today?
That's a good question.
I'm not going to go into details. Maybe he is listening to you. Okay. Another thing about Lashon Hara is even if you're just talking to him, you know, and again, you could justify and say, oh, I'm not embarrassing him.
putting somebody that they don't look good or that their hair is bad or whatever.
Yeah. Well, so if it's something to help somebody out, I'd say somebody's kisuroshi is missing, you know, so yeah, you know, because they don't see, you know. So that's, they would want to. They'll thank you. But, yeah, if this person gets a haircut, and, Tov, even if it's a bad haircut, I guess sometimes you could suggest to them, friendly, you know, maybe you should go to somebody and straighten it out or something like that. Do you see that especially a lot today? People have these groom-yourself haircuts, and they don't see themselves from the back. Class reunions is a big problem. Mm-hmm. You ever go to a class reunion or like a wedding where like the whole class is together and you haven't seen each other for 10 years and then whatever happened to him, whatever happened to you, and nicknames. Nicknames is also a good, when you say somebody's nickname, there's a good chance that he doesn't like that nickname. And especially if nobody's called him that for 30 years and then you remind him of his nickname or you remind him of something, excuse me, embarrassing that he did in high school. These are things that, I don't know what, if they have rules on your high school classes, mm-hmm. that you're not allowed to say something negative. Or we have on the positively Anglo. Right? That's a good idea. Just positive things. Okay?
Gerald calls people out if they don't post something positive.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, maybe just, yeah, we'll do quickly another short paragraph. Hagozel chaver, anyway, we'll just finish that. Amru Rabbeinu Tam Zichronam Docha. Kol ha-shearim ninalim chutz mishari ona'a. That all of the gates are locked except for the gates where you hurt somebody. Alechin yizer kol adam shelo yitzer et chavero b'shum davar lo b'ma'aseh v'lo b'dvarim. Not only to hurt them physically, but also with words. All these examples. Anybody have one more good example of how to hurt somebody with words?
Accusing somebody of when they didn't do that.
Yeah. Doing it. Right. Accusing somebody. Right. Today, that's you hear all the time of cases that somebody was accused, and just to lizgor cheshbon.
One of the boys that were killed in Nova.
Yeah.
He was accused falsely of rape, and the woman was guilty.
She was found guilty?
She was found guilty. Because wow. He was already, you know, already not here anymore.
Wow.
I killed another.
Wow.
I didn't
hear
that.
Wow. That's a tough, tough example. Okay, a gozel chavero ki'ilu notel nishmato. Somebody again who steals, it's as if you've killed a person. Ve'afilu im gazal mimenu davar muat kagon pruta. Here there's a misquote. This didn't sound right, and I checked it up. It should say, ki'ilu notil nishmato. It's not that you are obligated to die, but it's as if, right, you've killed him. Gam ze mimidad achzariyut. This is also a cruel trait. Hamotziv shem ra'al chavero. Somebody who puts out a bad name about somebody, and he embarrasses him. And as soon as you put out a bad name, you can't call it back. Right? He hears about it, and he hears about it. He loses clients. When you say something about somebody's family. By the way, it's interesting. You see this in the Gemara, in Masechet Nedarim, that certain, when people used to curse somebody's mother, people took it seriously. Like today, it's just like a form of speech, you know. But people used to take those things seriously. Ein lo kapara olamit, lo tiye lo kinoshe. And also, you shouldn't be like a, if you lend somebody, don't keep reminding him all the time, hey, you owe me money. Shelo yitzayir alove, velo yavor malve lefanav. And don't, you know, parade back and forth, you know, to remind me, hey, you owe me money. And you know that he can't pay you back. You are, how do you say metzik?
Annoying
him. Right? Another good example is, you know, some people look at their watch, you know, when somebody's going overtime. So if you do it once and it's acceptable, but, you know, some people, they just keep looking at their watch, you know, making sure that you see it. And that's annoying. And
it's annoying to go
over time. You're right. But as that's a very good point. Somebody said here that it's annoying to go over time. What's the important differentiation? We've said this in the past. The difference between me and him. In other words, if he goes over time, okay, you know, maybe tell him afterwards, you know, especially if you're like the rabbi, you're in charge, you know, and he's stretching out the davening too long or something like that. On the other hand, if it's me, I have to make sure that I don't go over time, right? Or if somebody is not nice to me, I should be man enough to forgive him, right? And so that's a very, very, I think it's come up just about every class. And it's always good to review. The difference between me and him.
Yeah, but I've had instances when I was teaching in the school's oral hygiene and the bell rings, the kid just picks up some of them, walk out. And it doesn't make a difference if I'm in the middle of a sentence or not. Mm-hmm. I found that very insulting. Let me finish my sentence.
Right. That's for sure. And especially how much more so in a school atmosphere where chinuch, they are there to be educated.
I wasn't, going to talk another 20 minutes. I was going to finish my sentence. Nope, they have tiltul, everybody picks themselves up and leaves. Yeah. So I found that very, very insulting.
Right, so that's another good example. Yeah. Or you know what, sometimes, it's interesting, somebody should check up how yawning is purpose or not purpose, you know, or how much maybe it's subconscious. You're like, if something's boring, so you just keep yawning, and it just keeps going, and something like that could also be ma'aliv. How do you say ma'aliv?
Insulting.
They say that yawning is like when you get tired, so you bring more oxygen to your brain by yawning, something in your mouth.
So it's a physiological need.
Yeah.
Okay. But sometimes, you know, sometimes... if the same person yawns five times within a minute, you know, that's annoying, you know. So again, if he's giving me the message, okay, take the message. But if it is me, I should not yawn to hurt the other person.
If you're really tired and you're yawning,
There's actually the way you can close your mouth. I've done this. You know, you have to yawn. Can't see that at home. Okay, we will finish off here. Laila Tov.